He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, President, Chief Portfolio Strategist at Gunderson Capital Management in beautiful San Diego, California. Boy, it's been a busy week in the markets. We've talked about a lot this past week. We've talked about markets, asset classes, sectors, stocks, exchange-traded funds, precious metals, bonds, mutual funds. During the week, I featured 12 different companies. We've determined, we've examined them from a performance basis, a valuation basis, a chart pattern basis, to determine if they meet my strict requirements that I have to qualify as a best stock now. You know, the interesting thing is that these stocks come from all walks of life. Some are small caps, some are mid caps, some are foreign. Some are tech stocks, some are biotech stocks, some are consumer-related, auto-related. They have one thing in common. They are, in my opinion, best stocks now in the market. They meet those strict criteria that I have as being best stocks now. We've recorded those snippets, and from those snippets, I've chosen the best four stories that I told this past week, because I think they're worth being told once again. So sit back and enjoy. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where May is approaching. May is just around the corner. You know what May means. Go away in May. Well, I've written several articles on this recently, and that's all I can tell you. At least as far as we sit here today, the market, the 49-month-old bull market, remains intact. Is today the end of the 49-month-old bull market? Well, if you took that side of the opinion aisle, you would be guessing. You would be absolutely guessing. And you know what? I've just found that over time, trying to guess the bottoms of stocks, the bottoms of asset classes, the bottoms of indexes, it's a tricky game at best. Likewise, trying to guess the tops of markets, the tops of indexes, the tops of sectors, the tops of stocks has also been a tricky game at best. I can't tell you how many times I've sold a stock thinking, you know what, I'm happy. I got a 35% profit here in 6 months. That works out to a 70% per year annual return. I'm happy. And then the stock bolts higher and higher and higher. I can give you a lot of examples of that. I did that with Domino's Pizza. Domino's Pizza continues to hit new all-time highs, and I kicked myself when I think back on the sell that I made of Domino's Pizza. I look back at Lumber Liquidators, one of the hottest stocks in the entire market. I got tired of it one day. I got a little bit worried about the building sector. I had a decent profit in the stock, and I sold it, and it continues to be one of the hottest stocks in the market. So you know what? You kind of have to wait until the numbers start to show up that the stock is dropping in rank, that the stock is rolling over on its stock chart, all the various other clues that lead to the decision-making process that you have to go through each day in the market. The biggest decision that folks have to make to begin with, obviously, is whether to be in the market or out of the market. And I address this all the time. Looking back is called hindsight. Right. You know what's coming next? Hindsight is 2020. Boy, over the last 49 months, it's all you had to do was be invested in anything, the S&P 500, anything. that was equity related, domestic equity related, and you've done really, really well. That's hindsight. But in hindsight, looking back on the newsletters I've written, on the app that I've developed, on the radio shows that I do every single day, I've kept you in the market for the last 49 months. But again, you can say, well, that's hindsight now. I wasn't in. What about me? I don't want you looking backwards. I want you looking forward. Well, you know what? Looking forward's difficult. You have to look instead at today, and you have to weigh the evidence that's out there today. A lot of people would say, I'm afraid to get in. In fact, you know what? I heard yesterday on, I think, CNBC, someone say this is the most hated rally ever. What's to hate about it? I love it. It's been good to me and my clients. And Gunderson Cav, there's no hate going around here. You know why it's hated? The folks that have been sitting on the sidelines are the one that hates the hate this rally. Those are the ones that hate it. Now you could say, and who knows, you may be right. Well, if I get in now, it's too late. I'm getting in right at the top. And as I've reminded you many times, you could have said that 3 years ago and been wrong. You could have said that 2 years ago and been wrong. You could have said that 1 year ago and been wrong. What about today? Well, again, if you're going to guess that this is the top, the key word there is guessing. You're guessing that this is the top. Just think about the following potential scenario, all right? There's one school of thought that says that the market runs in 7-year cycles. Okay, let's think about that for a minute. When was the last bull market we had? I mean, bear market. When was the last bear market? 2008. The market was down 38.5% in 2008. Prior to that, when was the last bull market before that? 2001. Exactly 7 years apart. 2001 was a miserable year in the market. We saw the NASDAQ plunge from 5,300 down to what? 1,800, 1,600, somewhere in there. But if we extrapolate 7 years forward now, 2008 was the last bear market. We add 7 years to that, 2015 would be the next bear market. So you may have a couple years of wiggle room here. Listen, there is no sure thing in the market. If these cycles went by the moon phases and by the dates and by the year, it would sure be a heck of a lot easier. It's all we can do is weigh the evidence every single day and make our decisions. And I've also said time after time after time, the market is made up of a lot of small decisions. I'll make about 150 decisions today. The first decision is, what am I going to warm up in the microwave for breakfast when I get done here? That's the first decision. And then I'll start going through the stocks alphabetically. Today I'm going to start with the Z's and work backwards, just for a change of pace. The first stock I'll be looking at today is Zumiez, Zumz, a company that operates 440 young men's stores. And then I'll work all the way down to Agilent. And in between, there's about 3,300 stocks. I'm not going to look at every single one of them, but I'm going to stop on a stock like Zillow because it's ranked number 208 right now. It's in a Gunderson rating of A minus. And as I look at Zillow, even on a bad day in the market like today, Zillow is up $1.46. Zillow is real estate related. So I'll make a decision on Zillow. Should I add this to my portfolios or not? Is there something in my portfolio that I could replace that's not performing? And then the next one I'll stop on is Wesco. Wesco is a stock that I actually own, actually Watsco. They're an air conditioning stock. Should I keep it? Should I sell it? Should I move on? I have a nice little decent profit in it. Well, I see that it's still ranked at number 79. It still has 100% upside potential. It still has a healthy stock chart. You know what the decision is? I don't think I'll make any decision. We'll hold on to that one today, and on and on and on with all the little decisions that make up the market. And I said this many times, I think too many people out there make huge emotional decisions. They're drama queens and drama kings. Sell everything. I had a guy write to me yesterday. Nice guy. He's been a client for a long time. He says, Gunderson, I want you to sell everything. What do I got to do to have you sell everything and move it to the sidelines? I said, you got to find another money manager. Because if you want to manage your own money, fine. Go ahead. Have at it. All right. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with Bill Gunderson. You know, the Best Stocks Now app is number 6 today in the world as far as financial apps go. Man, you ought to give it a try. I think it's kind of a revolutionary product here. It's certainly helped me with my money management business. I developed the app back in 2008. I learned an awful lot that year. And on a relative basis, it shows me where the best asset classes are at any given point in time, which helps me time the market. It tells me where the best sectors are at any given point in time. And it tells me where the best stocks, even if they're inverse ETFs, it doesn't matter. The app is not prejudiced in any way. It's all it looks at is value, performance, and the technical pattern. Even in a bad market, something's flourishing, right? The inverse funds are flourishing, or treasuries are flourishing, or commodities are flourishing. And in a go, go, go roaring market, they take a back seat while the go, go, go roaring stocks lead the way. One such stock, which is in the news here with earnings this week, this is a stock that I own in my conservative growth accounts, where I lean more towards large and mid-cap companies as opposed to small caps and micro caps and whatever you might consider to be aggressive. You know, when times get tough, I don't care if times are good or they're bad. What would be one of the last things that you would give up? Would you give up your internet connection? Oh, man. I don't know that I could go for very long without an internet connection. I suppose I could walk down to the local Starbucks or wherever the hot-wired place is and sit there and do my stuff, but I'm pretty much on the internet every waking minute of my day. Would you give up your cable TV? Man, what would I do? I would just sit in my chair and twiddle. I'd have to read a book. I'd sit in my chair and twiddle my thumbs. What would I do without internet and without cable? For that reason, you know, if you look at Comcast back in 2008, Comcast was only down 6% that year, while the market was down 38%. Yeah, people are losing their jobs left and right. The equity in your home is being drained as fast as possible. The equity in your 401k is plummeting. You're not going to give up your internet connection. Come on. You're going to call up and cancel your cable? Now, you may get rid of some of those premium channels, the movie channels, and the ones that give you VH1 Classic so you can go back and watch those old Tom Petty videos, but you're not going to give up those two things. Times are going to have to really be tough before you give those up. And it's obvious that Comcast flourished in 2008 when it was only down 6.6%, while the market was down 38.5%. Comcast is having another good year this year. Let's see, it started the year at 37 and it's up 41. We've got a stock that's up 10.5% so far this year. Over the last 5 years, Comcast, which is CMCSA, has delivered 17.2% per year. As we've become a more wired society, you know, as I think back in junior high, if I had to call my mom, I had to get a note. I had to go to the nurse's office and call my mother, have the nurse call for me and tell her I had a sore throat or a tummy ache. In other words, I wasn't prepared for the upcoming test, and I needed to go home. Or if we were lost looking for some place, we'd have to pull over into a gas station and park and get out and make a phone call from a payphone. Yeah, times have really changed. And now it's just, send mom a text. I'm sick. Come pick me up. It's a little bit different world that we live in today. I used to sit after football practice. I'd be the last guy to be picked up from my mother. I know she was busy and she had to run errands and do the grocery shopping and get her hair done. But you got to leave me sitting in front of the high school till 8 o'clock at night. That was before we had cell phones. I couldn't text her. Mom, where are you? It's getting cold out there and there's creepy people walking around the high school here. And I just want to go home. I got homework to do. But that was a different day and age back then. Over the last 3 years, Comcast has delivered 30% per year. You know, it was the same in Little League. I was the last guy to get picked up from Little League. Now, I appreciate my mother. I have a great mother. She's still alive, and she used to take me to and from my Little League practice and Little League games and sat on the cold bleachers watching my Little League games. But why was I always the last guy to get picked up from practice? You know, 2 a.m.? Come on. Over the last 3 years, Comcast has delivered 30% per year. It's tripled the returns of the market. You're going, you know what, Comcast, I've never really even heard of this stock. Well, it's CMCSA is the symbol. They provide video, internet, phone, network, broadcast, TV. These are all the necessities of life through the Comcast cable and NBC Universal. And it's hitting new all-time highs. Over the last 12 months, while the market's up 16%, Comcast is up 44%. It continues to outperform the market as being wired continues to be a very important part of our lives. Entertainment. We live in the entertainment age. I remember when I had to stand in line to get a 45 of the Beatles' new release. One song at a time, I built my library. Now my kid's got the entire Beatles, Led Zepp, Rolling Stones, all of them. He has the entire library on his iPhone in the palm of his hand. We live in a different age. Imagine all those records. I used to have records all over my house. Now it's all in a little disc somewhere inside the iPhone. It's really crazy, the advancement in technology that we've seen, and Comcast is a part of that. Okay, we know that the stock has performed well. What about the value, which is the second part of this equation? I had to make a pitch yesterday to some kind of a group of medical people to manage their, some kind of fund that they have. And they asked me how I manage money. And I said, well, you know what? You've heard of value investors. You've heard of momentum investors. I'm right in the middle. I employ both in my investing strategy. Comcast is currently trading at 15 times forward earnings. That's pretty darn cheap. It's expected to grow by 17% per year. That means it's trading at a discount to its growth rate. PEG ratio of 0.88. Comcast currently gets a Gunderson grade of A-, and it's a stock that I own in my conservative growth accounts. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We enter May with eyes wide open. Yeah, I think my eyes are a little wider open than usual as I look in my rearview mirror and my side mirrors, and paranoia sets in. Go away in May is what they say. Well, I say it depends on the stock. I see my Regeneron breaking out, busting loose to new highs today. I wrote about Regeneron last week. I featured Regeneron on this show many, many times in the past. You can go to my website, pwstreet.com. You can click on the tab, Good Stock, Bad Stock. You can scroll down alphabetically to Regeneron. The last time I talked about it, and the time before that, all the little snippets are there. And you can listen to my analysis of the company and what the company does for a living. So should I go away in May in my Regeneron? How about my Comcast, which I just featured? It seems to be doing just fine. Well, there's a couple of others that are under a little bit of pressure right now. So I think the answer to should we go away in May, it depends on what you own. It depends on the individual stocks that you own. How are they behaving? I've said many times that, in my opinion, the market's a bunch of small decisions that we make. It's not that one big sweeping decision. I told you, I had a guy send me an email, one of my clients. He said, I want to sell everything. Just sit the summer out. How do I do this? I said, well, it's real easy to do. You just call Scottrade and you tell them you want to manage your own account, and then you go in there and one at a time you put in your market orders for sales and you take over management of the account going forward. Now, that may seem a little snotty, but you know what? Hey, you hired me to manage the account. So if you want to call the shots, then fine. You call the shots. You know, the Miami Marlins, I think they have the worst record in baseball. They're right down there with the Padres, even though we just beat the – we swept San Francisco over the weekend, and we beat Chicago rather soundly last night. But we're still at or near the bottom of the asset class in the sector heap in here in San Diego, which we're just kind of used to that. But the Miami Marlins, they have an owner. He's an art dealer. He knows art, supposedly. Have you seen the colors in that Miami stadium they built? Pretty awful. I guess it's modern art that he deals with. But he keeps meddling in what the manager and the baseball people do for a living, and you can see the results of how the Miami Marlins are performing. The players are mad at the owner. The manager is mad at the owner because he wants to meddle. All right, so, you know, eventually a good player is going to say, or a good manager is going to say, you know what, I'm going to go somewhere else because I don't need an owner that's going to meddle with what I do for a living. If he wants to run the team, then put him in a baseball uniform. Put him on the bench. Let him pick the starting lineup. Let him call the shots. You know, that's just kind of the way it is. Anyways, we're going to talk about another one here that I've talked about many times. Times in the past, and we're going to talk about it once more. What's it mean if we keep talking about these stocks? Well, it means that it must be going pretty well at the company because we continue to talk about them. This stock is in the news this week. It looks like their earnings were not overly, not like blowout earnings, but I think it looks okay. The stock broke out with the big time vengeance yesterday to another new high. This has been one of the most successful large caps over the last several years. It's headquartered in Purchase, New York. And a lot of people use their plastic to make purchases. MasterCard. You say, oh, is Gunnarsson going to talk about MasterCard again? Yes. Why? Because it continues to do well. And it continues to be a stock that I own in my conservative growth accounts. MasterCard has been a very successful IPO. From $40 a share back in 2006 to $541 per share today. That's pretty hard to argue with. From $40 per share IPO price to $540 per share. By the way, how's that Facebook IPO doing? It came public at 45 and it's still 27. But he's doing all kinds of philanthropy work and all this and that. And they sent out a tweet about what he's up to next. And I said, you know, I would prefer that he'd run the company and get the stock. Not that I own it, but his major job should be getting the stock back to its IPO price of $45. Anyways, MasterCard has gone from 40 to 540. Along the way, it's averaged about 15% per year to investors, right in their pocket, giving them a little rebate on the fees that they pay through their using their plastic. During that same five-year period of time, the markets delivered 2.6% per year, so a much better return than the overall market. Over the last 3 years, MasterCard has tripled the returns of the market. MasterCard has averaged 31% per year, while the market's averaged 9.7%. Over the last 12 months, MasterCard is up 29%, while the market's only up 16%. It's beat the market over the last 5 years, 3 years, 1 year. If this was a mutual fund, everybody would be all excited about it. It would get 6 stars. When five is the top, it would get 6 because it's blown away every mutual fund imaginable over the last 1, 3, 5 years. You know, that was one of the main reasons that drove me to create the app. I couldn't find returns on stocks. It was very difficult to do. I had to go to all these different places and put numbers together, and I just decided, you know, I want it right here in the palm of my hand. I want to look up what the batting average of the company is, how many RBIs they've driven in, how they've done with hitters in scoring position, right? All this kind of stuff. And I want it easy to understand. That's part of the Best Stock Now app chemistry and anatomy there. But at the same time, I've learned through bad experiences, like touching the burner when you're young, you know? Ouch! You learn after a while not to touch the burner. If you're smart, you know, if you've got any kind of sense, you'll stop touching the burner and burning your finger. I just touched the burner the other day. I guess I have no sense. You took a hot plate. You ever take a hot plate out of the oven? I like to finish off my enchiladas under the broiler. You know, get them all bubbly and everything with that chili gravy and everything. Take the hot plate out of the oven, set it on the counter. And then I go over to chop up some green onions, you know, to make it kind of colorful and pretty, and maybe a couple squirts of sour cream on the top and maybe a banana pepper or something, just to really make it look good. Then you go back and you pick up the plate. You forgot, you just pulled it out of the oven. Anyways, I've learned also that you can get burnt by not looking at the valuation of stocks. I've learned that an 80 PE ratio is like a 110 degree plate out of the oven. You don't want to touch it. You're liable to get burnt. So it's one thing to have really nice enchiladas and bubbling and everything, but you could ruin your entire evening by getting burnt by touching that plate. Same goes for buying a stock that's trading at ridiculously high PE ratios or PEG ratios or price to sales or price to book or price to cash flow. MasterCard is currently trading at 18 times forward earnings. That's what the average stock in my database is doing. And the performance of MasterCard has been anything but average over the years. So you're paying an average price for what I consider to be a very much above average company. That's a good sign. In fact, they're expected to continue to grow their earnings by about 18% per year. That puts the PEG ratio at 1.02, right in that area that I think still makes sense. I'm not going to get my hand burnt. I'm not going to get a blister. I'm not going to loathe the fact that I bought a stock that was trading at ridiculously high multiples in MasterCard. In fact, it gets a value grade of A. My system is made up of three grades. A value grade, it gets an A. A performance grade, and I also look at how it held up in 2008, what kind of volatility it has. MasterCard currently gets an overall grade. This is the important one, of A minus. Stock chart fantastic, broke out again yesterday. I continue to own MasterCard in my conservative growth accounts here at Gunderson Capital Management. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. Not too long ago, it was during spring training. It must have been midway through March, somewhere in there. I appeared on the Fox Business Channel during Liz Claman's hour. And my assignment was to talk about the vice stocks. Hey, what's a clean liver like me doing in a place like this? But they asked me to do it. So I came up with my three best vice stocks. I talked about Samuel Adams, which has been one of the best stocks of the decade. Sam, Boston Beer Company, which continues to hit new highs. I talked about the prison stocks. I talked about the Geo Group, and I talked about the big dividend payer, which is Corrections Corp of America. And lastly, I talked about the Indian gaming stock, Multimedia Games. Boy, they've all done well since then. I hope people saw that. It's still on YouTube. You can go back and watch it. Just type in Bill Gunderson Vice Stocks and on YouTube, and there's my little segment. Why did I choose Multimedia Games to talk about? Well, you know what? Indian gaming has been a big phenomenon. I remember, 15, 20 years ago, there really was no such thing as Indian gaming. You go to the horse track and it was filled with people. And you go to Vegas and the casinos were filled with people. Now they compete with Indian gaming, which is a lot more convenient. Generally speaking, they lavish you with the lobster and the prime rib to get you out there. And there's slot machines galore. We had an ex-mayor here in San Diego appear on the news one night. And it was learned that in the past several years, she's gone through $1 billion at the Indian gaming casinos. She was very wealthy. She was very wealthy. Now, I don't see her picture on the billboards. Instead, I see pictures of the crab legs and the drawn butter and the thick and juicy steaks. I don't see Mayor O'Connor's picture on the billboard. Come gamble where Maureen O'Connor gambled. She went through $1 billion. Somebody's making money, and it wasn't her. Multimedia Games is a $690 million small cap company headquartered in Austin, Texas, the gaming capital of the world. Multimedia Games provides server-based gaming systems, terminals, I think video poker is one of the real big deals, and related products mainly for the Native American bingo gaming market. That's a big market. You know, over the last 10 years, Multimedia Games, or let's do the last 5 years, 42% per year. This is one of the top performing stocks. This is another dynamic of today's society. In 2008, the stock was down 71%, however. I guess people, when their pockets get a little thin, they don't quite hit the slot machines as hard or the video poker quite as hard. But this stock has had sensational performance, 75% per year over the last 3 years, 120% over the last 12 months. It gets an A-minus momentum grade. The valuation is still reasonable with the PEG ratio of 1.02. When I look at all the stocks in my database, it gets an A-minus grade. It busted loose yesterday to a new all-time high, Multimedia Games, MGAM. One from the wild side of the market. All right, let's talk to Craig Brock. Craig, we're seeing a new low print here this morning. Well, I guess it's the week's jobs report from ADP, was it? Yeah, ADP jobs report. And we're seeing a new low print on interest rates.
Well, we are. We're seeing 30-year fixed rate mortgages for borrowers that have a 720 FICO or better come down to 3.375% without paying any points. Most people don't want to pay points when they refinance. If you're paying more than that, you really need to call someone today and look at refinancing. This ADP came in at 119,000. The consensus was for 155,000, and last month's report was revised downward.
Yeah, I mean, we're still, I don't know what the problem is, but we're still not creating jobs.
Well, we're not going to hire anymore either because of the Obamacare. We're going to be real careful here. If you've got more than 50 employees, you have to be careful based on the changes that are going to be implemented in just the coming months.
Yeah, you know, I just don't know where we're headed here. That's why you've got to really keep your eye on everything that you own individually. You can't just say, well, this economy is roaring back. I'm just going to buy, these cyclicals that depend on a roaring economy and things like Caterpillar. That just ain't happening. You got to be in the right areas of the market. And, you know, and as the Kay Schiller pointed out, you've also, some regions in America are doing better than others as far as home price appreciation. What did you say Atlanta was up?
16.5% yesterday.
Do we know about the Bay Area, how the Bay Area did?
I believe that was up at least 3%. We were up 1% in Los Angeles. It just shows you, it comes down to location. It's real spotty.
Yeah, it depends on where you live. But overall, I mean, the tide is coming in home values. Now, the Fed, we'll get some kind of news out of the Fed today. They've got to be chewing their fingernails a little bit over the, because really, I think, you know, the Fed has said that they're not going to do anything with interest rates until job recovery takes place, right?
That's correct, Bill, and they might even step on the accelerator a little bit more. I know we're watching just hours from now, and if you're listening to the broadcast in Honolulu, it's coming up in just a matter of minutes.
Yeah, that's right. So anyways, we'll see what happens. Where can we get in touch with Craig Brock? If you've got a question, if you've got some crazy scenario in your head about, you know, paying down your loan or refinancing, hey, you know, every little dollar helps. Where can we reach Craig Brock?
It's CraigBrockMortgage.com or dial 855-900-3279.
All right, and I'm 855-611-BEST or PWStreet.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.